Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Golder, and today we're in Maseches Psachim Daf Pei Dalet, the seventh Perek Ketzad Tzoin. This is going to be an abbreviated shir. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbah contrasted two parts of the next Mishnah discussing which parts of the Pesach are considered edible and fit to be counted as portions. The first part stated, "Kol nechal b'shoa gadol ye'achal b'gdi arach." Anything that is edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid. Now, this implies that parts which are inedible in a grown ox are not fit to be eaten in a tender kid. But the latter part of the Mishnah continues, Rashi confined by Ashusim, including the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage. But these are inedible in a grown ox. So Rava concluded that it's a Machlokas Tanaim, and that the latter part was a Yesh Omrim who holds that ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage are deemed fit to be eaten in a kid, since in a grown ox it can be made edible through extended cooking. Rava said that the Mishnah is writing in the form of a Mahin Katani, or what are they? And this is what it means to teach. Anything that is edible in a grown ox through extended cooking is considered fit to be eaten in a tender kid through roasting. And what are these parts? Rashi confined by Ashusim. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hashover etza etzim bepesach ator, harzalok rabayim. One who breaks a bone of a pesach, that is tower, receives 40 lashes, of a mosi b'tahor, v'ashor v'tamei ein alokas rabayim. However, one who leaves over a part of the pesach, that is tahor, or who breaks a bone of a tamei pesach, does not receive 40 lashes. It was taught in Brice regarding why one doesn't receive malchus for leaving over a part of the tahor pesach. It says in the pasuk, v'oso sir mimenu ad boker, you shall not leave any of it over until morning, and any of it that is left over until morning shall be burned in the fire. So, the pasuk comes to give an ase to burn the leftover after it says the losase against leaving it over to teach that one does not get malchus. Now, these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says that this is not the reason, but rather, mishum da'avei love, shein bo maisa, vein woken love. It's because the prohibition of leaving over doesn't involve an action, and therefore one doesn't get malchus for that. And point number three was taught in Brisa, the pasuk states, "Ve'etzim lo tishberu bo," and you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, v'kasher v'lo b'pasul. The phrase in it implies in a valid pesach, but not in an invalid one. Revi says, the pasuk says, "Bebayis echad yachel," and then continues, "Ve'etzim lo tishberu bo." In one house it shall be eaten, and you shall not break a bone in it. So the juxtaposition of these two mitzvahs coming to teach, whatever is fit for eating is subject to the prohibition against breaking a bone, and whatever is not fit for eating is not subject to the prohibition. Now, since only a valid offering may be eaten, Rebbe's teaching seems to be that of the Tanakamas. The Gemara brings eight amoras to explain the difference and then concludes with a brisa that conforms to four of them. The Brisa says that Rebbe holds that the following are not subject to the prohibition of breaking a bone. Number one, Haisalo Shasa Kosher V'Nipso B'Shasa Chila. It had a period of validity, but became disqualified at the time of eating, which was like Rav Yosef. Number two, Embo Shir Achila. It doesn't contain the minimum shir for eating, which is like Ravina. Number three, that which is fit for offering in the Mizbech, which would exclude the bone of the tail, which is like Rav Nachman by Yitzhak. And number four, when it's done with Lobashat Sechila, not at the time of eating, such as on the day of the 14th, which is like Abaya. So once again, the three points are number one, Rava contrasted two parts of the Mishnah discussing which parts of the Pesach are considered edible and fit to be counted as portions. The first part stated, "Kol nechal b'shoa gadol ye'achal b'gdi arach." Anything that is edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid. This implies that parts which are inedible in a grown ox are not fit to be eaten in a tender kid. But the latter part of the Mishnah continues, "Rashi confined v'ashusim," including the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage. But these are inedible in a grown ox. So Rava concluded that it's a malchus tanaim, and the latter part was a yesh omrim who holds that ends of the shoulder blades and other cartilage are deemed fit to be eaten in a kid, since in a grown ox it can be made edible through extended cooking. Rava said that the Mishnah is writing in the form of a Mahin Katani. What are they? And this is what it means to teach. Anything that is edible in a grown ox through extended cooking is considered fit to be eaten in a tender kid through roasting. And what are these parts? Rashi confined by Ashusim. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hashover etza etzim bepesach ator, harzalok arbaim. One who breaks a bone of a pesach that is tahor receives 40 lashes, of a hamosi b'tahor, v'hashover b'tamei ein alokas arbaim. However, one who leaves over a part of the pesach that is tahor, or who breaks a bone of the tamei pesach, does not receive 40 lashes. So it's taught in a brisa regarding why one does not receive malchus for leaving over part of the tahor pesach. It says in the pasuk, "Sir mimenu ad boker, v'nos mimenu ad boker be'esh tisrufu." You shall not leave any of it over until morning, and any of it that is left over until morning shall be burned in the fire. So Ba'al Kasav Itan Aseh Achu Los Aseh. The Pasuk comes to give an Aseh to burn the leftover after it says the Los Aseh against leaving over, to teach that one does not get Malkus. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says that this is not the reason, but rather, Mishum Da'avi Lav Shein Bo Mais Vein Lokin Lav. It's because the prohibition of leaving over does not involve an action, and therefore one does not get Malkus for that. And point number three was Tanna Brisa that the Pasuk states, Ve'etzim Lo Tish Bru Bo, and you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, b'kasha v'lo b'pasul. The phrase in it implies in a valid Pesach, but not in an invalid one. Rebbe says, b'bayis echad ye'echal, and then continues, v'etzim l'tishbru bo. In one house it shall be eaten, and you shall not break a bone in it. The juxtaposition of these two mitzvahs coming to teach, kor rui l'achila, yesh bo mishum shviras etzim. Whatever is fit for eating is subject to the prohibition against breaking a bone, and whatever is not fit for eating is not subject to the prohibition. Now, since only a valid offering may be eaten, Rebbe's teaching seems to be that of the Tanakamas. The Gemara brings eight amoras that explain the difference and then concludes with the Brisa that conforms to four of them. The Brisa says that Rebbe holds that the following are not subject to the prohibition of breaking a bone. Number one, Haisa l'shasa kosher v'nipsa l'shasa achila, has a period of validity but became disqualified at the time of eating, which was like Rav Yosef. Number two, ein bo shir achila, it doesn't contain the minimum shir for eating, which was like Ravina. Number three, that which is fit for offering the mizbeach, which would exclude the bone of the tail, which is like Renachem Bar Yitzchak. And number four, when it's done, lo b'shas achila, not at the time of eating, such as on the day of the 14th, which is like Abaya. All right, so now it's time to go to our sim for Pei Dalet, and this sim comes to us by way of Aaron Warso from Queens, who suggested Pei Dalet is a spaceship on a launch pad. So here goes. This spaceship on the launch pad, about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Torah Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chayv Malkus for breaking its bone. So once again, slow motion. This spaceship on the launch pad, spaceship on a launch pad, that must be Ram Duff Pei Dalet. This spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, which reminds us that Rabbah contrasts the two parts of the next mission discussing which parts of the Pesach are considered edible and fit to be counted as portions. The first part stated that anything that's edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid. This implies that parts which are inedible in a grown ox are not fit to be eaten in a tender kid, but the latter part of the mission continues, including the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage. But these are inedible in a grown ox. So Rabbah concluded that some halachos tonight that the latter part was a Yesh Omrim who holds that the ends of the shoulder blades and of the cartilage are deemed fit to be eaten in a kid, since in a grown ox they can be made edible through extended cooking. Rava said that the Mishnah is writing in the form of a Mahin Katani, or what are they? And this is what it means to teach, Kol Necha B'Shoa Gadlo B'Shlaka Yeocha B'Gdi HaRach B'Tzli. Anything that is edible in a grown ox through extended cooking is considered fit to be eaten in a tender kid through roasting. What are these parts? Rashi Kanfayim B'Chsusim. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved. He didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Torah Pesach, which reminds us it was taught in a Brisa regarding why one doesn't receive Malkus for leaving over a part of the Torah Pesach. It says in the Pasuk, you shall not leave any of it over until morning, and any of it that's left over until morning shall be burned in the fire. So the Pasuk comes to give an ase to burn the leftover after it says the los ase against leaving over to teach that one doesn't get Malkus. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says that that's not the reason, but rather, it's because the prohibition of leaving over does not involve an action, and therefore one doesn't get Malkus for that. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Torah Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chayv Malkus for breaking its bone. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa that the Pasuk states, Ve'etzim lo tishbru bo, and you shall not break a bone in it, bo, b'kasha v'lo b'pasul. The phrase in it implies in a valid Pesach, but not in an invalid one. But Rebbe says, b'bayis echad ye'echel, v'etzim lo tishbru bo. In one house it shall be eaten, and the Pasuk continues, and you shall not break a bone in it. The juxtaposition of these two mitzvahs is coming to teach, k'orui l'achil yesh bo mishum shviras etzim. Whatever is fit for eating is subject to the prohibition against breaking a bone, and whatever is not fit for eating is not subject to the prohibition. Now, since only a valid offering may be eaten, Rebbe's teaching seems to be that of the Tanakamas. So the Gemara brings eight amors that explain the difference, and then concludes with a brisa that conforms to four of them. So once again, this spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Torah Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chayv Malkus for breaking its bone. All right, so now it's time to go to our four blot back Chazara. Daf Pei. So the Simur Daf Pei is Payday. Payday. So here goes. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tamei from a Sheretz, It turned out the majority were Zavim, and the minority were Tmei Mesim from Eden Corpse, and were permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the tzitz is maratza, for Tumas at home. Once again, in slow motion. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely, that must mean da pay, payday. After the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tamri from a Sheretz, which reminds us it was stated that if the Jews were evenly divided with half of them Taor, and the other half Tamei, Rav says, were Matamei, one of the Taor people, with the Sheretz, so the majority will be Tamei, and they all bring the Pesach together in Tumah. Now the Gemara clarifies, the Rav made a statement in a case where there's a Tana who holds that in the case of half and half, they do not all make the Pesach in Tumah, and who also holds, like Rabbi Yehuda said, in Karban Sibur Chaluk, that a Karban Sibur is not divided, meaning once a segment of the community is making the offering in Tumah, it's not fitting for the remainder of the community to avoid contact with them. So in such a case, he'll be forced to be Tamei, one of the Taor people, with the Sheretz, so the majority will be Tamei, and the community will be able to make the offering in Tumah. Ul disagrees and says that when the community is divided, we send one of the Taor people to a distant road, so the majority will be Tamei. And the Gemara clarifies that Ul disagrees with using a Sheretz, since he holds that we may shecht the Pesach and Zrikas Adam on behalf of someone Tamei from a Sheretz. And Rav Nachman disagrees with Ul, since he held that no one would volunteer to go to the trouble of traveling to a distant road. So after the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tamei from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim, and the minority were Tmei Mesim from Adam Corpse, and weren't permitted to bring on Pesach Rishon or Sheni, which reminds us it was stated that if the majority of the community were Zavim, and the minority were Tmei Mesim, Rav says that those who were Tmei Mesim do not bring on Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. They don't bring on Pesach Rishon because they're a minority of the community, and the minority does not bring a Pesach and Tumah on Pesach Rishon. And they don't make it on Pesach Sheni because wherever the community brings a Pesach on Pesach Rishon, an individual who is Tamei brings it on Pesach Sheni. But whenever the community does not bring the carbon on Pesach Rishon, an individual that was Tamei does not bring it on Pesach Sheni. And the Meiri clarifies that the Zavim also don't make the Pesach on either Pesach Rishon or Sheni. They can't make it on Pesach Rishon because Tumah is not Tuchuyah for Zavim. And they can't make it on Pesach Sheni because the majority of the community is not deferred to Pesach Sheni. So after the evenly split community paid one member handsomely to become Tamei from a Sheretz, it turned out the majority were Zavim, the minority were Tmei Mesim from Eden Corpse, and were permitted to bring a Pesach Rishon or Sheni, even though the tzitzis is maratza for Tumas at the home. Which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that the tzitzis is maratza in a case where it became known after the Zrikas Adam that the Pesach had become Tamei, but Nitma Guf. But if it became known that the body of the owner had been Tamei, it's not maratza because they said concerning another one making a Pesach, Hatzitz maratza al Tumas Adam, vein Hatzitz maratza al Tumas Aguf. The tzitzis maratza for Tumah of the blood, but not for the Tumah of the owner's body. But if it became known that the owner had become Tamei from Tumas at the home, from the Tumah of the deep, which is a Tumah that was unknown to anyone, the tzitz is maratza. Daf payoff. So the simmer daf payoff is a grandpa. A grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, grandpa. That must mean we're in daf payoff. The grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas at the home, and who told the Kohen bringing a Tamei that it's permitted for him, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef inquired, Kohen Maratz B'Tamei, concerning the Kohen who affects acceptance for the Tamei, meaning the one that does the Avoda, was Tumas at the home permitted for him or not? Rabbi said, it's a Kal V'Chomer. If in place where known Tumah is not permitted, such as in the case of a Nazir or Pesach, Tumas at the home is permitted, according to some, then in a place where known Tumah is permitted, such as a Tamid, which Rashi explains can be offered by a Tamei Kohen when no Tahor Kohen is available, isn't it logical that Tumas at the home would be permitted for it? The Gemara rejects this proof because ain't done in Kal V'Chomer Mahalach, we don't derive a Kal V'Chomer from Halach L'Moshe Sinai. Rava answered instead that we derive the law of the Tamei that Tumas at the home is permitted for the Kohen from the Gezer Shava of Mo'odo Mo'odo from the case of the Pesach. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas at the home, and who told the Kohen bringing a Tamei that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world. Which reminds the Gemara asks for the source for Tumas Dahom, and three sources are brought. The Gemara challenges the interpretations based on a brisa that states that which is Tumas Dahom, any Tumah that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. If even one person at the end of the earth is aware of it, ain't zet Tumas Dahom. It is not Tumas Dahom, since none of the sources were consistent with that definition. The Gemara concludes, Tumas at the home, Hilchas and Gemirla, Ukras Makdaba Alma. The law of Tumas at home is a lachal of Moshe Messina, and the pasuk brought by each Amor was only on a smachta. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas at the home, and who told the Kohen bringing a Tamei that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world, despite the fact that it was concealed under straw. Which reminds us, a brisa defines the type of concealment that qualifies for Tumas at the home. If one found it concealed under straw, earth, or pebbles, it's tumas of the home. But if one found it in water, in the darkness, or in crevices in the boulders, it's not tumas of the home. Rashi explains that although the tumas is not readily apparent, it's not deemed concealed and unknown, since one who looks closely can find it in spite of its position. The Braisa concludes that tumas of the home only applies for the tumah of a maze. Daf Pei Beis. So the Simmer Daf Pei Beis is a pub. A pub. So here goes. The beer pub. Beer pub. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Beis. The beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why there's a problem of burning one's own wood before the beer? Rav Yosef said, Shalul Avayish as Mishainlo, in order not to embarrass those who do not have their own wood. Rava said, Mifnei Chashad, because of the need to avoid suspicion. Rashi explains that people seeing them take excess wood home might think they're taking from the Maracha. The difference between them would be a case where the person brings his own reeds or dry palm branches, which are not fit for burning on the Maracha. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises, which reminds the Gemara for the source that meat taken out of its boundary is burned, as opposed to another message such as bearing, and suggests that it's learned from the incident when Aaron burned the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the day the Mishkan was completed and none of an Avihu died. After rejecting the source as well as another source, the Gemara concludes that it's halachah l'moshe misinai that all psulim of Kodesh are burned. And the Torah mentions the details around Aaron burning the chatas only because the incident occurred this way. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises while packing up the meat portions of some tummy customers for them to leave overnight before tossing them in a fire. Which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, Nitmu abalim o shemesu tu ubar saraso v'yasar peshishasar. If the owners became tummy or died, its appearance must first be changed, which means that the flesh must be left overnight so that it will become pusle as nosar, and it's burned on the 16th. Rabbi Yochum Roka says, Avze yasar miyad v'nishem abalim. This one too should be burned at once because it has no way to eat it. Rabbi Yosef says the Malchus pertains to a case when the owners became tummy before the Zrikas Adam, where the meat was never fit to be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka considers it a psul b'gufa, whereas the Tanakhama does not. They would agree that if the owners became tummy after the zrika, so that the meat became fit to eat before the psul occurred, then it became possible from an external factor and requires a change of appearance before it's burned. Rabbi Yochanan understands the Malchus applies even in a case where the owners became tummy after the zrika's adam. Daf Pei Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood wowed the spectators of the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Once again in slow motion. The reigning pogo stick champion, that must be more in Daf Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar, which reminds the next Mishnah states that the bone sinews and leftover flesh of the Pesach must be burned on the 16th of Nisan. Rav Mari Bar Avoh said in the name of Yitzchak, bones of any kachin that served as a carry of nosar are matam in the hands of the Rabban like nosar itself, since they served as a basis for a dava aser. The Gemara seeks to support Rabbi Yitzchak's statement from the Mishnah, but rejects the proof, saying, Shimush Nosar Lav Milsi. Serving Nosar as a basis is not a factor, and the ton of our Mishnah holds that when the Torah stated of Etzim Latishbu Bo, you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, the term in it means, Bakasher Ba'afil Ba'pasel, a Kasher Pesach, and even a Pasel Pesach. Since it's forbidden to break open the bones even after the Pesach becomes Nosar, they must always be burned because of the marrow in them. However, the bones themselves do not inherently require burning. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood, which reminds Rav Yudah said the name of Rav called Gidim Basar Chutz Migidei Tzavar. All sinews are considered flesh except for the sinews of the neck. Rashi explains that the sinews are considered meat, and therefore when people register for the Pesach, and there must be a kazayas of flesh for each person to eat, the sinews may be counted as flesh. The neck sinew is very hard, and is considered like wood rather than the flesh. The Gemara attempts to challenge Rav's ruling from a Mishnah and brings a number of resolutions. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood wowed the spectators of the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, then the bones, sinews, and nosar are burned on the 17th, because the mitzvahs to burn them are not docheh Shabbos or yantiv. The Gemara asks why the burning doesn't override yantiv. Let the asei to burn nosar come and be docheh the losas if not din malach and yantiv. So Chizkiyah said, the pasuk states, lo sishim mimenu ad boker, but nosar mimenu ad boker, but eshti srifu. You shall not leave any of it until morning. Any of it that's left until morning, you shall burn in fire. So why was it necessary to state ad boker a second time? Litim lo boker shen with srifu so, to give the Pesach a second morning for its burning, which refers to the first morning of Chol HaMoed. Abai and Rabbah brought two additional sources, and Rav Ashi said, Shabbason de Yom Tov Asehu. The pasuk regarding rest on Yantiv is an ase vein ase do chelos ase vase. And a single ase, such as the mitzvah of burning noser, does not override the combination of an ase and los ase. All right, so that concludes the shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichu, wishing a great day and great learning.